Let me introduce myself, if you're a guest with us particularly. My name is George, and I help to coordinate the international student work here at IGG. It's lovely to see you here with us this evening. I very much hope as well that you enjoyed your dumplings, particularly because we're going to be having three more dumpling evenings in September as we welcome new people to IGG and kick off the year. You will see that on your tables there are some flyers for those events. Let me encourage you to take a few of those away with you. If you're a non-Christian, and if you're a guest, if you're new with us this evening, then we would love to see you there. But also, if you're a regular here at IGG, then do take some away with you, because they will remind you to invite people over the summer. And you can also use them to inform your prayers as you pray for September. Before September, however, there is the small matter of the summer. And so we thought that we would use the last formal IGG of term and of the year to think about the summer holidays and what they are really for. And so that's our big question for this evening. You'll see it on the handouts that are on your table. Our big question: what is the summer for? What is the summer for? There are lots of answers that you could give, aren't there? Many of you will be going traveling over the summer. Now is your chance to see the world, or at least, you know, the parts of Europe that are reachable with low-cost air travel. Many of you will be doing internships over the summer. I guess for you, it's a time to get your head down and to secure that stable job for later in life. I suppose no different to term time. Many of you will have already secured that stable job for later in life. And for you, the summer is a time for continuing with your job, while the rest of us put our feet up. Many of us will have slightly less concrete goals, I suppose. The summer is a time for eating, for doing laundry, for playing video games, or maybe even to watch The Avengers again. Or if you're a student, maybe you plan to do all of the above in a single day. You finish work at your internship, you get home and put The Avengers on while you finish a McSpicy that you picked up on the way home. All the while, your mother does some laundry for you downstairs. What is the summer for? That's our big question. There are, of course, some better options. The summer is a time to spend with family. It's a time to serve, perhaps on a Christian summer camp. It's a time to read all of the Christian books that you bought last summer and haven't got around to reading yet. But even if these are better options for how you spend your summer, why are they better options? Other than that we might have told you that they were at IGG. What is the summer for? I suppose you could equally ask, what is going home for? What is the summer for? That's our question. And the answer is there on your sheet, Ephesians 6, verse 11. The summer is for putting on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. If you open up the Bibles that are on your tables to Ephesians 6, verse 10, and I'm going to read the whole passage for us. Do give me a smile when you're there and I'll know to start reading. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. What is the summer for? Well, we're going to see that it's for standing against spiritual enemies, for putting on spiritual armor, and for engaging in spiritual supplication. So firstly, standing against spiritual enemies. Four times in this passage, Paul tells the Ephesians that they are to stand. You'll see the first there in verse 11, so have a look down with me. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore. Four times, Paul says, stand. It is clearly an urgent call. But why? What are the Ephesians being called to stand against? Well, for that, we need to look back down at verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Paul here introduces our powerful spiritual enemies. It is against these adversaries that he calls us to stand. They are clearly very powerful. In verse 12, we see that they are rulers. They are authorities. They are cosmic powers. They are spiritual forces. Indeed, we see that they are so powerful that they rule over this world. They are the cosmic powers, literally the world regime, the ruling authority over this present darkness. But though these enemies rule over this world, they are not of this world. They are spiritual enemies. As we see in verse 12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against cosmic powers and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. That is the unseen spiritual realm behind this world. And the powers in this spiritual realm preside over a world of evil. They are the cosmic powers over this present darkness, the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. If you're here and you're not a Christian, then perhaps it sounds awfully superstitious to say that there are powerful spiritual forces working evil in the world. Let me say that you're probably not alone in your skepticism. As Christians, we too often struggle to believe that such powers exist, and we live most of our lives as if they didn't. Let me also say that that is exactly how you would expect things to be if these powers did exist. For if you are an evil spiritual regime intent on deceiving people of the true nature of things, what better way to seduce people into letting their guard down than deceiving them of the reality of your own existence? Most importantly, though, let me say this, that even if you don't believe that evil spiritual forces exist, I'm sure that you believe that evil exists. There are some things which are objectively evil, and there are some things which are objectively good. And if you believe that good and evil are real, then you must believe in God. A universe without God is a universe where there is no evil, no good, nothing but the blind, pitiless indifference of a universe without meaning. God must exist to be the source of objective good. But if God is the source of good, then there must be a reason why so much evil exists in creatures that are made in God's image. And the Bible's answer is that exactly the answer that we began with in our passage, that evil is the work of formidable spiritual powers who rule from the heavenly places over this present darkness. They're not equal with God. The Bible is not dualistic. God is supreme. He has no equal. But the invisible spiritual realm is in open rebellion against God, just as the visible physical world is in open rebellion against God, without in any way being his equal. Indeed, it was the serpent, having led his spiritual rebellion against God, who tempted Adam and Eve into joining his result and in leading the physical world into doing the same. And today, his cohort of spiritual cronies continue to tempt people to do the same. They do this through deception. Look back down with me at Ephesians 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. And that word, schemes, is the same word used in Ephesians 4 to describe the crafty, deceitful schemes which toss the church about like the wind and waves. This is how the devil works, by using crafty schemes to seduce the world into fatal rebellion against God and to toss the church about by tempting those who have been rescued from his regime into resuming their rebellion. Of course, these days we're used to the idea of a master villain using deceit as a weapon to attack his enemies. If Vladimir Putin, as an example of a master villain, wants to attack his political adversaries, he uses misinformation and lies to stir up anger and discontent among his adversaries' subjects. Now, fake news is the master villain's weapon of choice in modern warfare. Except it's not really modern at all. For we see the serpent using exactly the same tactics in Genesis 3. He uses misinformation. You will not die. You'll be like God. To stir up discontent and ultimately rebellion among God's subjects. And today his goal is the same. To deceive us with lies about God and his word that keep us from growing and ultimately lead us to fall away. And therefore, Paul says, stand. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. What is the summer for? It's for standing against spiritual enemies. It's not what we expect spiritual attack to look like, is it? We expect spiritual attack to look like demon possession, or at the very least to be some obvious outbreak of illness or persecution. But our spiritual enemies are much more interested in deceiving our minds than attacking our bodies or bank balances. They'd much rather we were healthy and happy and totally distracted from God and his word than sick and dying, but entirely focused on the Lord Jesus and the glory of his name. I mean, just look at Paul in this passage. He is in prison. Things are about as bad for him physically as they can get. But in verse 18, have a look at it with me. He doesn't ask the Ephesians to pray for his release, does he? No, he asks them to pray that he would keep alert and that words would be given to him in opening his mouth boldly to proclaim the gospel. Because he knows that the devil doesn't really care whether he's in prison or not, just so long as he stops proclaiming the gospel. It's not what we expect spiritual attack to look like. But it's also not what we expect the summer to be about. We expect the summer to be a time for resting, for eating, for taking it easy and having a break. And it is. We want you to have a break this summer. I can't underline that enough. And it isn't wrong to use the summer to travel or to do an internship or to rest. Of course it isn't. It's just that the summer is also a time for war. Indeed, it is a time for war before it is a time for rest. There is no break from this battle, no sabbatical from this struggle, no rest from this wrestling. And we mustn't forget that this summer, because our enemies certainly won't. Their aim is to stop us growing, to stifle our love of God and his word, and to pour water on our concern for the lost, and ultimately to make us fall away. And our aim, our first aim this summer, must be to stop them. What is the summer for? It is for standing against spiritual enemies. Of course, if we finished there, it would sound like an impossible task, wouldn't it? How are we supposed to stand when the whole world has been deceived? But this isn't a passage which should frighten or depress us. It's a passage which should empower and equip us, because there is a way to stand against such formidable foes. It is to put on spiritual armor. And so secondly, the summer is for putting on spiritual armor. Look down with me again at our theme verse, Ephesians 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Yes, we have formidable foes, says Paul, but we also have formidable God-given armor. So what is this armor, and how can we put it on? Well, look back down with me at verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It's a rousing description of our armor, isn't it? And I want to draw out two big things about its content. Firstly, this armor is the gospel. Look back down with me at verse 14. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, these pieces of armor, they are inseparable from the gospel. They're the word of truth, the shoes of readiness given by the gospel, the shield of faith in the gospel, and the word of God, which is the gospel. If you flick back a page or two with me to Ephesians 1, verse 13, I'm going to read Ephesians 1, verse 13, and I want you to see how much of the armor you can spot in this verse. Ready? Ephesians 1, 13. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. I think there are five of the six pieces of armour in this verse. There's the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and belief, that is faith. And I guess you could throw in the Holy Spirit there as a bonus too. Now, so what is the armour? Well, it's the word of truth. It's the gospel of our salvation, which we have believed. The armour is the gospel. But what aspect of the gospel does Paul want us to take up and put on? Well, for that we need our second sub-point. And so the armour, secondly, is the gospel of Christ the Saviour. Let me read again from verse 14. Stand therefore... Oh, you might want to flick back over to Ephesians 6 if you're still in Ephesians 1. Ephesians 6, verse 14. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, in all circumstances take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. As well as evoking the gospel in these verses, Paul is also evoking a key passage in the book of Isaiah, when in chapter 59, the Lord sees that there is nobody to do anything about the evil in his world. And so he puts on his armour and prepares to intervene himself. And he puts on righteousness as a breastplate and the helmet of salvation on his head. The point is that this armour is not just the armour of God in the sense that it comes from God, but also in the sense that God himself wore it when he intervened through the Lord Jesus Christ, to offer righteousness to sinful men and salvation to those enslaved by Satan's power. That is the armour of God, the gospel of Christ the Saviour, who put his armour on to intervene to bring righteousness and salvation to dead sinners in Satan's grip. And you put on that armour by filling your mind with that gospel, the gospel of Christ the Saviour, and by focusing on that truth instead of the lies of Satan. And so Ephesians 6, verse 11, put on the whole armour of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Now, many of you will know that I am not a comic books guy by any measure, not even the most generous. I don't think I've ever actually read a comic book in my entire life, but there you go, you can make of that what you will. But even I know enough about comic books to know that Iron Man is, he's basically a rich guy with a really, really good suit. He's not actually a superhero, is he? But his suit is what makes him super. And that's why you never see Iron Man take off his suit in the middle of a battle. Okay, Avengers Infinity War would have been a very different film if the rules were changed so that Iron Man wasn't allowed his suit. Okay, it would have been pretty much the quickest film of the year. It was just Iron Man getting squished by the big purple guy. Iron Man's suit is his strength. And the same is true for us. If we're going to be strong in the Lord and in his armour this summer, then we need to be strong with the armour that he has given him, that he's given us, by filling our minds with the gospel of Christ the Saviour. If we're going to be strong this summer, we need to be strong in the Lord and in the gospel of Christ the Saviour. And to not do so, well, it makes no more sense than Iron Man taking off his suit in the middle of a battle. if you're listening to this and you're not a Christian, you might be thinking at this stage that this has no relevance to you. And so let me say this. The utterly perfect, completely holy Creator God, the source of all that is good and right, who sees everything, including all the evil that you've ever thought, said, or done. And we've all done and said and thought evil. None of us is not like Iron Man and doesn't need help. He looked at you, that God, and all the evil you've ever thought, said, or done. He looked at you in your helplessness to keep yourself from evil. And he put on his armor to save you and to offer you salvation and righteousness. And so I appeal to you, accept that offer. Turn from what is evil to what is good. Turn from the spiritual enemies who rule over this present darkness, who deceive us into living for ourselves and pretending that there is not a God who made this universe. Turn from him to Christ the Savior, who put on his armor to save you. This summer, we're going to be running a series of Bible studies, especially for those interested in looking into the Christian faith. There's going to be a QR code up on the screens after the talk, which you can scan if you'd like to sign up. If you've even been the slightest bit intrigued by what you've heard this evening, then please sign up. You've got very little to lose. And at the very least, you might need to be able to prove that we're all lunatics. But investigate and come and find out. And if you're here and you're a Christian, then remember the gospel of Christ the Savior this summer. Get that gospel into your mind with the zeal of a soldier under siege. Use whatever tactics you can, be it listening to sermons or keeping up your quiet time, keeping a diary, meeting with fellow Christians, or reading a Christian book. Knowing that only when you fill your mind with that gospel will you stand firm in the Lord's strength this summer. What is the summer for? It is for putting on spiritual armor. And finally, and much more briefly, the summer is for engaging in spiritual supplication. Engaging in spiritual supplication. Supplication is earnest and sincere prayer. And you might have noticed that Paul ends the passage by calling for such prayer. And so verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. We see that the duration of this prayer is constant, and so it is praying at all times, and that the nature of this prayer is petitionary, asking for things, and so it is praying with all prayer and supplication, and that the character of this prayer is endurance, and so it is praying with all perseverance. And that the subject of this prayer is the global church. And so it is making supplication for all the saints. And lastly, that the goal of this prayer is bold gospel proclamation. And so it is also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. And so Paul wants the Ephesians, as they stand firm, to pray constantly for the bold proclamation of the gospel among the saints. Why? Because gospel proclamation is God's counteroffensive against the rule of Satan. As the gospel advances through the world, Satan's dictatorship of deceit is pushed back by the advance of divine truth revealed in the gospel of Christ the Savior. And so this fight is not only defensive, as we battle to stand firm by putting on our gospel armour, but it is also offensive, as we pray for the bold proclamation of the gospel and the rolling back of this present darkness by the light of God's truth as it penetrates the hearts of people in darkness. And so pray for the advance of the gospel this summer. Pray for your friends to come to know Christ. Find out which of the friends from your IGG group you can be praying for. Pray for our IGG mission partners in Japan and the East End. And use the sheets that we were given last week at the Romans Review to pray for world mission in unreached countries. Because as you do, you are pushing the advance of God's counteroffensive against the rule of darkness. What is the summer for? What is going home for good for? It is for standing against spiritual enemies, for putting on spiritual armor, and for engaging in spiritual supplication. Why don't I lead us in prayer before pudding comes out? Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you looked at us, those of us who were, all of us, dead in our trespasses and sins, walking according to the way of the world in the power of Satan, unable to live or to know truth or to do anything but head straight towards your wrath and judgment and the eternal death of life apart from you. Thank you that you saw us in that state and you put your armor on to save us and to offer us righteousness through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, as we battle to stand firm this summer, as we battle to stand firm for the rest of our lives in our home countries, help us to be strong in your strength by remembering the battle that we're in, by putting on the armor which you have given us, the gospel of Christ the Savior, and by engaging in spiritual supplication for the advance of your counteroffensive against Satan's rule of darkness. We pray, Father, for the gospel to continue to advance, and we pray that you would keep us standing firm in your strength this summer and beyond. In Jesus' name, amen.